RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
In the past week, a lot has been said about trans men and women's sports, especially relating to the Olympics. Well, mainly actually relating to the Olympics. And normally, we'd probably have Ro Edge on from, say, Women's Sports Australasia to comment. She's on holiday. Fair enough. So we thought we'd get back Sal Grover, Tickle versus Giggle, for a bit of commentary based on her ex-posts. Mainly, she obviously has had a lot to say. A quick reminder that Sal is the Australian founder of independent female-only social media networking platform app called Giggle. And the woman at the center of the important constitutional court case, we've talked about that before, Tickle versus Giggle, that will ultimately test sex versus gender in Australian law. She's emerged as a major figure in the fight back against gender ideology and its detrimental impact of the rights of women, and has recently finished a New Zealand speaking tour. We've also talked about that. So to discuss trans athletes injuring women at the 2024 Olympics, we thought we'd get Sal Grover back on RCR. Sal, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Good. What do you make of the Olympics?
Oh, it's just been such a weird Olympics in general, I think. I mean, starting from the opening ceremony that, you know, was just not as much like a celebration of a nation as it was just drag queens, you know, floating around. Yeah. And then we have male athletes in female sports, which is sort of one of the biggest issues that sort of women like myself are speaking out about at the moment, because, you know, I mean, this is completely unfair, and there's no point to women's sports if male men are allowed to compete in them.
The level of tone deafness, can I use that term? Tone deafness is galactic.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it really has been just a crazy time of people sort of yelling at you because of what you're acknowledging that you can see with your own eyes. You know, one of the most basic skills human beings have is being able to tell who is male and who is female just by looking at them. Our brain registers it in like an amount of time that we're not even aware of. You know what I mean? Like when we're walking down the street, we're just doing this constantly. So, and it's a really necessary skill, like from our evolution for survival and how, you know, how it has shaped our lives. You know, I mean, even when you're young and you're going to bars and, you know, looking for someone to date or whatever, you don't sort of look across the room and like, well, I wonder what their chromosomes are. I wonder what their gender identity is. Like you just see a male or a female and you know. So just having our instincts put into question like this is a problem just in wider society. But then strictly speaking with the Olympics, there's just gross unfairness and danger.
Instinctual is a good way of putting it, I think. It's kind of shoved in our faces. Have you got any idea why it would be so brazen in your face? Because you'd think that there would be an assessment made that, hey, this might not be too much of a good look for a global competition with such a history, such as the Olympics. And we don't want to damage the brand, and we've got to think of future Olympics, and a country's reputation is at stake, but it doesn't seem to matter at all.
No, I mean, it doesn't. There's a part of me that thinks, you know, the Olympics has always had a little bit of a questionable relationship to women competing in it. We weren't initially, then it's only gradually that certain events have even allowed women's sports to have their own competition in it. So it's always been a bit strange. And from my understanding, from 1999 is when they stopped sex testing on the Olympic level. So each organization, sporting body around the world, they all have different rules on this. Some do sex testing, some don't. And the Olympics simply doesn't. And I mean, there's an argument to be made that there is a benefit for some, I suppose, nations or just some competitions of two want to win medals to put, you know, sort of a sure thing in there, if that's what is indeed, you know, if that could be something that is indeed happening, or that, I mean, it's cheating. It's just
to give them a shot of a medal when otherwise it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, because I mean, one of the things that I think gets overlooked all the time when we're discussing males and female sport is, you know, the first thing is we talk about like the if it's a contact sport, we talk about the safety and the danger of it. And then if it's a sort of more like a running, like an endurance thing, it's about speed or whatnot. But the moment a man is in that sport, a woman has already missed out. Like there are two boxers right now who aren't at the Olympics, two women boxers who should be. Now, they may not be better boxers than the two males who are there. They probably are not. But they are probably on par with the other women athletes. And or they're not as good as them, but they should be still rightly in that competition. Like that's the whole point, is you see who is the best within that category. So, you know, it's just in terms of the conversation's always about inclusion, but for these people to be included in women's sport, women are being excluded. So I just don't buy the argument of inclusion at all.
But then there's next level, the risk of severe injury or even death, given the mismatch, to even go there a little bit to risk that.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose at this point now there's not in terms of this exact competition, I mean, it's just going to be two men fighting it out for the medal in the women's one. So that, you know, they can injure each other. I suppose they're not, the women have survived this one. I mean, boxing is a dangerous sport. Interestingly, there is a woman in the competition who in boxing in this Olympics who claims to be a man. Like that's, she has a trans identity. But she's competing in the women's category. Like she knows that when it comes down to it, where she has to be, like she's following the rules. So that's why there's no drama about it. Like this, what is happening at the moment, it's not a drama about trans or so you see people saying all the time, it's like Western beauty standards. Like, no. This is not about that. This is just strictly males in female sport. Because if you are a male, that you can, whatever you think about yourself or whatever condition you have, you can just go and compete in the male sport. And then there's no problem like that. So that's just everyone abiding by the same rules. And in sport, you have rules. Like in boxing, there's ways you have to do it, rules you have to follow, weight classes, styles, all of these different rules and categories and definitions that are followed to the letter, except the sex. That's the one that they're just allowing to be overlooked. And that's the one that is creating the most unfairness at the moment.
You got to help me out here, because as soon as I saw the clips of the opening ceremony, I thought, I can't stomach this. I haven't watched any of it. So I'm completely ignorant of who's competing. Even our own country, men and women, I'm not following. I just can't do it. And I used to be a fan of watching the Olympics. So help me out here. Who is Hurgi Basyadin? Who's he or she?
That is a woman who claims to be a man but is competing in the women's category.
So that's the person you were talking about just a moment ago.
Yeah. So she, I mean, whatever she thinks about herself, like that's fine. Free country, think whatever you want about yourself. But what is great, she understands that, you know, it's not gender identities or identities don't play sport. It's bodies that do. There's another woman competing. She's American, competing in the 1500 meter race. She claims to be non-binary. So she claims to be neither male nor female, but she is female. And she is competing in the women's race, as she should be. Like, fine. So there's no drama about it.
Well, she'd never win in the males.
Which they never would.
Impossible.
I heard the other day that, like, male boxers, like, if have said outright they would refuse to allow a woman in their competition because, I mean, like, it could be murder. Like, they can't compete properly. So there are a few athletes in this Olympics who have identities, fine. Like, I mean, I think it's nonsense, but at the same time, like, you can think whatever you want about yourself. And if you don't make it anyone else's problem, there literally is no issue. There's lots of people who think ridiculous things. And if it doesn't get in the way of anything else, it doesn't matter. But the two male boxers that are, you know, in the center of the drama, this isn't about identity. This appears to be a situation of a disorder or difference in sex development, DSDs, which sort of used to be called intersex conditions, but it just means that there is some developmental issues with their sex organs and their sort of sex bodies as they develop. But they have XY chromosomes. They have normal levels of male testosterone. They had the effects of male puberty. Like, they are completely male. Like, they're a little bit less male than someone else. No, they're completely male. And obviously you can just tell by looking at them, they are obviously male.
Yeah, I can tell. I looked at a couple of pictures. So the Algerian boxer, Imane Khalif, fought Angela Collini, I believe. And Angela Collini, I think, was quoted as saying she feared for her life.
Yeah. I mean, she was definitely the most dramatic. Well, the two women boxers, another one, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but the Hungarian one who he had to fight next. So, but during and after the fight, the Italian boxer, Angela, she was very, very emotional and did speak out. She's since been forced, she's issued an apology, sort of allegedly under duress. And then there's the Hungarian boxer who before the fight had posted on her social media that basically she was not approving of this. She didn't want to do it, but she's not going to give up her Olympic opportunity. So she did it. And she's now out of the competition. And apparently there is pressure on her to apologize as well. I mean, this is women having to apologize to men after the men punch them in the face. It's just, like, how did we get here?
It's kind of a pattern that keeps emerging.
Yeah, it is the culmination of really bad ideas and bad practices and people, are there ulterior motives? What? Because as you said at the very beginning here, what is the benefit of this for anyone? Because it's put, like, the Olympics into just it's so questionable. When, like, while I hated the opening ceremony, for example, I love the Olympics. I love watching all of these people who have dedicated their lives and trained, and they're the best that they can be. And it's so, like, you know, you sit there while you're eating chips and you judge them. Yeah. judging people doing something that you could literally never even think of doing. But I love it. And you don't want to punish the other athletes by, you know, not watching their achievements. But at the same time, like, it's really hard to go and watch, like, a man punch a woman. I found it really hard to watch that fight the other night.
And I'm sort of going off some of your ex posts. So Lin Tu Ting and, again, Imane Khalif, IBA have come out and said they were disqualified in 2023 because they weren't women. So, you know, There's form here. There's history here.
Yeah, the World Boxing Association's vice president came out in the last, like, 12 hours saying they're male. Like, this seems to be very established. There's lots of course, because it's in the internet age, and so there is a lot of, you know, some conspiracy theories emerging and stuff like that. It's like, just sort of, you've got to block that out and just go, okay, what is the stuff that we actually have evidence for? And the fact is that they have failed sex tests in the past, making them ineligible to be in female competition due to XY chromosomes. Neither of them appealed it. Or I think the Algerian boxer did, but then withdrew the appeal. So they've accepted it previously, but simply because the Olympics, it does not go by sex testing, and it's just what's on your documentation. So you can be, I mean, in Australia, in this Queensland, the state I live in, we've recently just had a self-ID law passed that, you know, anyone can go and change their documents to say whatever they want them to be. This has been another big issue. Not every country has that, and I don't believe the countries that these boxers are from have that. So that's why when everyone's sort of been piecing it together, it's like, okay, there's obviously been a mistake made, like a DSD condition, and the identity documents simply don't match the reality of the person.
You also make mention, I think, in one of your posts of the female volleyball player who, young player, 17, left paralyzed with brain damage by male in female sport, who apparently cackled with delight after knocking her to the ground.
Yeah.
Cackled with delight.
Mm-hmm. It's happening. I mean, gosh, even watching the boxing at the Olympics, they've been quite over the top in their celebrations after punching women. But it's happening more and more. I mean, literally every few days you're getting a new article of a man in a woman's sport. And so you've got it here. I think why there's been such a reaction is because the Olympics is the pinnacle. And so you've got the pinnacle who's not looking at it. But then, you know, at a club, an amateur level all around the world, this is happening where you've got, like, cycling competitions where men are women winning, but women in running. Like, in Australia, in the Australian Women's Football Association, in their competition, the Flying Bats team has five men on it. It's a woman whose legs have been broken, And it's just which are the parts that do make it to media and we get out and we find out about it. And then there's just so much more happening. So it's just an increasing problem. And it's really two problems that are sort of coming together, because you've got the DSD problem, which in one sense, it's not through any fault of, you know, an individual's, you know, own thing. It's just like you've been born with something. This could be really sad, or it doesn't affect your life in any way. You know what I mean? Like it's not a choice that's been made. But then you have the gender ideology stuff, which is the transgenderism with males just claiming to be women, but they are both being put under the umbrella of the exact same rules. And rather than doing things like going, okay, well, why don't we make the male category an open category, or let's create a third category, which could be for anybody either who has an identity that they want to uphold, or, I mean, maybe there are some athletes who are like, oh, look, I'd like to do unisex competitions at the Olympics and see how we go. I mean, men will win all of them, but like, you know, maybe there are some who are going, that sounds great. So, okay, we could have lots of different conversations about how to deal with this. But at the moment, it's just being forced upon everybody that the female competition becomes the open competition, and the only people who are going to lose out there are females.
Do you think we can consider that, while we're all scratching our heads trying to work out, you know, what is the rationale, the logic, any of that for this, that actually there are certain people in certain organizations that want to see this? They want to see women almost killed in the ring. They want to hear people cackling with delight. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
makes you wonder, right?
I hope that that's not true, but at the same time, just in general, with all of this stuff, you know, in the last few years, I've never seen so much misogyny out there. That so at this point, I go like, there has to be people behind this that do want that have really sinister motives. One of the famous things J.K. Rowling had said many years ago when she'd entered into this issue was that, you know, she'd never seen so much misogyny in her lifetime, and I really agree with her, because I've never been somebody who sort of, you know, had like a misogyny chip on my shoulder or anything. I've walked out there into the world being like, you know, I'm a woman, and so I must be treated differently, or that victimizes me in any way. But then you've also got to stop and go, hang on, what's actually happening here, and why is it happening? Because there's literally no other reason for this group to be treated like this unless it's sort of sex-based hate. And as I said, I mean, the solution would be just have the men's category being the open category. Men aren't going to lose out in that context.
No, never.
Yeah.
Mm. Before you go, Sal, how was your New Zealand speaking tour? How did that go? We heard a bit about the Christchurch event, but how did it go in general? How'd you find it?
It was fantastic. I am still actually telling everybody that I can't believe how gorgeous Wellington is. It's like I've been back over a few weeks, and I'm like, does everyone know how beautiful Wellington is?
I just left Wellington, just moved out of Wellington.
I was just blown away by it. I was like, New Zealand, why don't you lead with this? It was just so gorgeous. But no, it was really, really fantastic, because basically what we were talking about is New Zealand's Human Rights Act, where there are people who want to put gender identity discrimination in there. And it's the stupidest thing to do. Australia is kind of the canary in the coal mine here, because our Sex Discrimination Act is similar to your Human Rights Act, and we have gender identity just in there, and it's not working at all. It's causing chaos and making sort of women like me have to go to federal court for knowing that men are not women. So to put gender identity into law at this point in 2024, when we all know the issues, we're seeing the issues happening all the time, like gender identity discrimination doesn't serve any purpose unless it's overriding women's sex-based rights. That's the only time when you're going to actually need to engage with it. So it's literally one group of people having to give up rights so another group of people can have, there's not even more rights than anyone else. It's privileges. They're beyond rights.
Privileges, a pass over other people. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was great just sort of talking everyone through that, and, you know, just sort of everyone sort of standing their ground and going, no, we don't want this. But I'm very impressed with how organized like New Zealand women are. Everyone's sort of on the ball. And you at least have some political pushback now, and people in government who are sort of more on your side and on our side and reasonable about this. Even though New Zealand mainstream media is just, I mean, like just rendered itself useless because they don't report on the truth of any of these sort of issues. I do think New Zealand is in a better position than, say, Australia is. We have no political pushback, no meaningful media pushback, nothing. It's just we are still screaming into a void over here. So,
and any update on Tickle versus Giggle as the wheels grind?
No, apparently a federal court verdict is always sort of can be expected sort of 3 to 6 months after the hearing.
Yep.
And we're approaching 4 months. So
okay, you're in the zone.
We're in the zone. So just like literally, like, I mean, I'm friends with my solicitor at this point, but like literally every time she calls my phone, the person she has to say is, "I'm not calling about the case."
Before you say anything, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm just waiting for it. But, you know, I've always known that the case, there's a huge, strong likelihood that it will go to the High Court anyway. So, you know, I'm just ready for that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sal, for coming on this morning and giving your thoughts on the Olympics, those specific cases that we talked about, and we'll always be keeping an eye on that case. And it sounds like maybe that phone call's not too far away. We'll see.
Yeah, Billy, thank you so much.
Okay, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.